We're taking a little small break from the book of Romans. We'll be back and begin Romans 8 after Labor Day. Next week we'll have Jason LaBombard. We'll be bringing the word. So this week we have a passage that was actually in my daily devotion about a month ago, and I've always been fascinated by the passage. So I thought I'd preach on it. It's from John chapter 1, verses 43 through 51. And it's the passage with Nathanael underneath the fig leaf, the fig tree. And we'll read that scripture now. The next day Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" And Jesus answered him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." It's a fascinating passage. I've got 5 points this morning. Some of them I'm just pondering verse by verse. And then we'll get to the two main aspects of this passage. The first ones are just some of my thoughts. The first point, following him includes following through. Following him includes following through. We see that in these first few verses. The next day Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said, "Follow me." There's the following of Jesus. Philip responded to the call of Jesus to follow him, and he did. Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, or Bethesda, another pronunciation, the city of Andrew and Peter. And then it says, Philip found Nathanael. Philip, you see, could not keep the good news to himself. He discovered right away that following Jesus meant following through with being a witness for Jesus. It's not the main point of the passage, but it's there. And for Philip in this situation, it was simply telling his close friends about Jesus, letting them know about his new discovery, or the fact that he was discovered by Jesus. And John describes it in the simplest of ways. Jesus found Philip. Philip found Nathanael. Notice there's no complex evangelism strategy to cover the community. Just a simple, tell your friend about finding Jesus. Don't we often complicate it? We do. And evangelism strategies are good. Three circles are good. The four spiritual laws are all good, but here, and I think for a good purpose, John just simplifies it for us, which is something for us to remember. Just let your close relatives and friends know that you found Jesus or that He found you. Following Him includes following through. The second point is another, it's not the main point of the passage, but it's there. And it's that the Old Testament scriptures testify of Jesus Christ. And we see this in verse 45. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Of course, Moses in the law, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the five books of Moses are the law. And also the prophets. I'm not going to name all of them, but that's a whole bunch of them, all the way to Malachi. All the 39 books of the Old Testament testify of Jesus Christ in advance. They announce His coming, His ministry, His gospel, His kingdom, all in advance. It's hidden. It's in disguise. You have to be given eyes to see. John, a couple of chapters later, says a man must be born again in order to see the kingdom of God. So God has to do something to us spiritually in order for us to see Jesus in the Old Testament. So who is this Nathanael? Most commentators believe he is most likely Bartholomew. You know, a lot of these New Testament characters had two names. And Bartholomew is linked with Philip in all three of the gospel lists of the apostles. So when you read Nathanael, you can think Bartholomew. We're familiar with him probably more. And here in verse 45, maybe without knowing it, Philip stumbled onto something of tremendous importance to any and every student of the Bible. That all of the 39 books of the Old Testament, Genesis through Malachi, boldly proclaim Jesus Christ as the Messiah and the Savior of God's people. This is exactly what Jesus told the two disciples on the road to Emmaus on that day of great power, remember? The day of great power that I talked to the kids. The day of His resurrection when He was walking on the road to Emmaus and came across the two disciples who were talking about the day's events and wondering what had happened, and they were discouraged. And in Luke 24:27, describes what the conversation that He had with those two. And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, He interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning Himself. Boy, Philip got that right away, didn't he? See, it's not only the New Testament that tells us about Jesus Christ as the Savior, the whole Bible, all 66 books. It's the story of creation, the fall of man, the redemption brought by Christ, and the consummation, the end of all things for His glory. The third point, I just simply borrow the scriptural words, come and see. John 1:46, Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" I don't know the tone of voice he said that in. Probably a bit cynical. We'll talk about that in a minute. And Philip said to him, "Come and see." The ESV expository commentary says this about that. Philip evidently believes that for Nathanael, beholding Jesus for himself will be more compelling than anything Philip might say in an effort to convince him. Now, you might say that Philip had an advantage over us, that he could just invite Nathanael to meet Jesus face to face. I mean, doesn't that sound like an advantage? You're trying to witness to your friend or your family, say, come on, Jesus is in the house next door. Let me go introduce you to Jesus. That sounds like a great advantage, right? Point well made. But that doesn't leave us helpless. When we say to someone, come and see, we have a huge arsenal. Here's some examples. Come hear the gospel message of God's saving grace. Is that not without power? Romans chapter 1, the gospel is the power of God for salvation for all who believe. Don't have to see Jesus face to face to experience the power of God. How about, you don't have to even say it in these words, but come and experience Christian hospitality. The love of neighbor as yourself. Wouldn't that go a long way of overcoming many people's doubts and fears and stereotypes and misconceptions? If maybe they could experience some true down-to-earth Christian hospitality. I mean, the word hospitality in the Greek simply means love of the stranger. How about come and observe God's people worshiping the living God? Hear their songs and their prayers and observe and watch. How about come and taste for yourself the environment in which the Holy Spirit is present and active. So we don't have to have a face-to-face meeting with Jesus. That will come. But we have another comforter who is in our midst, who is powerful. In fact, we will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, and we will be witnesses till the ends of the earth. Well, the fourth point this morning from the passage is simply the omniscient God who sees you. Omniscient being the God who is everywhere, has all knowledge. The omnipresent God, who has all knowledge, sees you. Verse 47, Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, behold, an Israelite indeed in whom there is no deceit. Nathanael said to him, how do you know me? Jesus answered him, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Nathanael answered him, Rabbi, you're the Son of God and you're the King of Israel. I've always read that and go, wow. See, Jesus already knows Nathanael. He knows him to be a man of no deceit. The older versions of our Bible say, an Israelite in whom there is no guile. In fact, one commentator I read says the word used said, it's the same word he said it was used for fish bait. There's a man that there's no deception involved. There's nothing there used to bait people on. He's just a guy who says what he thinks. Maybe he's a bit cynical. Maybe you know somebody that's cynical. Cynical they may be, but aren't they often right? But with a slant and in cynicism, there's often truth, honesty, no deceit, no guile, not two-faced, not one way with one group and then another way with another group. The Lord has a lot to say about people who have no deceit. Psalm 32:2, blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity and whose spirit there is no deceit. That's what Jesus saw when he saw Nathanael. Now, he didn't say a man with no sin. Of course not. But his demeanor and his character was not someone that was two-faced. There was one translation by a man named Temple. He translated it like this: behold, an Israelite in whom there is no Jacob. If you know the story of Jacob in the book of Genesis, there was a man in whom there was a lot of deceit. Remember, he disguised himself, and he disguised himself as his brother Esau in order to get the blessing. So Nathanael responds to Jesus' observation and says, how do you know me? And Jesus responds, I saw you under the fig tree. A couple important things that might help. ESV Study Bible. If you do not have a good study Bible, that is the first, and I would say, necessary tool of the Christian. And I recommend two, and there's other good ones, I'm sure. I recommend the ESV Study Bible or the Reformation Study Bible. And the notes at the bottom of the page are a gold mine. ESV Study Bible says, I saw you. Jesus here displays supernatural knowledge, thus identifying himself as the Messiah. He'd never met Nathanael. He sees Nathanael coming and he says, I saw you under the fig tree, blows Nathanael away. The ESV expository commentary says, in the Old Testament, to sit under one's own vine and fig tree is associated with enjoyment of the blessing of God under the righteous reign of the king from David's line. So here's Nathanael, either that morning or the day before or sometime during that week, sitting under the fig tree. Perhaps he's just chilling, enjoying the blessings of God under the righteous reign of the king from David's line. Well, there wasn't one of those, was there? No, they were under Roman rule. So whether he was experiencing blessings or hardship or difficulty, we don't know. Jesus said, I saw you there. So I'm just pondering, man, what was going on in Nathanael's mind? What was he praying? What was he thinking? And so I'm going to take a little bit of liberty to speculate. It's the question I've always had when I've read this verse. What was Nathanael doing under that fig tree? I mean, I like just chilling out. Like chilling out on the deck, around the fire pit, on the boat, on the shore. Chilling out, enjoying the blessings of God. But what about the rigors and the struggles of daily life when you've gone to the fig tree for refuge? We've all got a fig tree. We've all got a place where we rest. What if Nathanael was struggling with some of the questions we wrestle with in our day and age, in our society and culture? I mean, they had theirs, we have ours. Let's look at a few possibilities. And these are more ours than his. I don't know what he was thinking. Let's consider our plight under our fig trees. Maybe I'll touch on yours. God, are you real? Or is all this just some kind of religious fantasy that my parents and grandparents were into, and I'm trying to live up to their expectations? Anybody ever thought like that? No. What does Jesus say? I saw you under the fig tree. See, he knows what we think. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to give strong support to those whose heart is blameless toward Him." See, Jesus sees us under the fig tree. How about another one? Do you even know who I am? What is my purpose in life? Do I have any significance? Is what I do have any meaning or purpose? Does it make any difference what I do? Jesus says, I saw you under the fig tree. God said this to the Israelites in the book of Deuteronomy. He found him in a desert land, in the howling waste of the wilderness. He encircled him. He cared for him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. That's God's posture towards his people as he sees them under the fig tree. Isn't that great news? How about this? Why do you seem so far away all the time? Do you really know what's going on in the world or even in my so-called life? What does Jesus say? Saw you under the fig tree. Psalm 37 says, "The steps of a man are established by the Lord. When he delights in his way, though he fall, he shall not be cast headlong, for the Lord upholds his hand." How about this? Will you really forgive my sins? Really? All of them? Even that one? Even the ones I do over and over and over that I keep repenting for but can't seem to get the victory over? What does Jesus say? I saw you under the fig tree. Peter gives us some wonderful insight. "For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer." And then John later on, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And then one more. Are the promises of a Messiah actually going to be fulfilled? Well, now would be a really good time. I mean, hasn't almost every generation said that? I mean, we're not the first generation to say that. Just read the Bible. Take a history class. What does Jesus say? I saw you under the fig tree. A Revelation 21 says He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And death shall be no more, neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And He who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." Now, whatever Nathanael was thinking, whatever it was, whatever he was praying, whatever he was contemplating, however he was chilling out, whatever, we don't know. Jesus said to him, "I saw you under the fig tree." And Nathanael answered, "You're the Son of God, the King of Israel." From that, he recognized Jesus as the promised Messiah and just acknowledged Him as such. And that's what we do when we recognize Jesus as the Messiah, the Savior, the One who forgives our sins, when He died upon the cross and then rose from the dead. We don't put it off. We don't delay it. We just simply say, "This is You. You are Him. This is what I believe." Romans 10 says, "If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." And then the fifth point, which is probably the central point of the passage. I've concentrated more on "He sees us." And this has to do with the passage that Andy read a little earlier of Jesus, of Jacob putting his head on a stone pillow. I mean, I'd have bad dreams too. But Jacob's ladder, and then taking the stone and setting it up and calling it Bethel, the house of God. Because Jesus is Jacob's ladder. Jesus answered him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And He said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened." These are the greater things. "You will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Genesis 28:12, "And he, Jacob, dreamed, and behold, there was a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it." There's the connection between John 1:51 and Genesis 28:12. The greater things Nathanael gets to see is also what we get to see as Christians. It's the entirety of existence associated with and dependent upon Jesus Christ for its meaning. He is the meaning of life. He is life. He's the good shepherd. He's the bread of life. He's the resurrection of life. He's all. He is Jacob's ladder. He's the revelation of heaven. He's heaven descending to us. He's the only access to heaven. He's our ascending pathway to heaven. That's what He's saying to Nathanael. And that's what the Scripture this morning is saying to us. And this is only John chapter 1. Preaching the Word is a commentary, which is a number of sermons by R. Kent Hughes. Just a tremendous preacher. And he finishes his sermon on this passage this way. And I want to close with this. If you do not know Jesus Christ, there is a promise to you if you will respond to him. You will begin to see the unseen. The heavens will be opened, and the angels of God will be ascending and descending upon our Lord Jesus Christ on your behalf. Jesus, our ladder, has his feet planted on the earth in his humanity and his blessed brow in the heavens. You can know reality. Do you know how you can get it? The same way Nathanael did. Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." You can say these words and not believe, but you can say them enthusiastically with a heart full of faith. Grace will be poured into your life. Your life will become alive, polychromatic, brilliant, exciting, effervescent, all because of Jesus. May God give us grace to receive the truth of his word. Would you pray with me? Lord, thank you for this passage that tells us that Jesus sees us under our fig trees. He saw Nathanael and Nathanael believed. You see us, may we believe that Jesus is the Son of God and the King of Israel. May we see that. In Jesus' name we pray.